This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Sunday morning. Nine Floors Up in the Kia Studios. What a relief it was to hear that last night, huh? Sam Crenshaw with you on this holiday Sunday morning. Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Hope you're traveling safely if you headed for early morning services or whatever you might be doing on this Sunday morning. And thanks for spending some time with us here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Man, did you stay up late last night? Did you stay up late with the Braves? Because if you did, man, you missed out on a lot of fun. I know it didn't look good early. Boy, that was a lot of ugliness. My goodness, yesterday. But if you stayed up late, you got to see something good because the Braves rallied. And, you know, that's part of the script. I don't know who writes the script for this team, what way things happen. But the way it turned out in the second game was pretty good and pretty dramatic if you stayed with them, considering how things started. I mean, getting down 7-0 to start the game after losing the first game and having, you know, Julio Teheran go out and have that eventful inning that he's been known to have, and you hope he doesn't have that. And you wonder how much of your bullpen is going to have to go to work, just to survive in those two games against two pretty tough starters that the Indians threw in that doubleheader. And it's something the teams don't do a lot. Talked about it some yesterday. Doubleheaders are a rarity these days, you know, for Major League Baseball. But they become a necessity, especially in situations like this, interleague play. You don't know what the schedule is going to play out in later on in the season if you can get back together and make up that game with this team in another league. So if you're there, they played two yesterday. The fans enjoyed it, I'm sure, to compare Major League Baseball games there at Cleveland. As the Braves dropped the first one 8-4, with Julio Teheran, and like I said, he was going along fine and then has the bad inning, and you don't catch up after getting off to a lead in the game. And then the second game, my goodness, Tuukka Toussaint gets the ball, goes to the mound, and can't make it through two innings. And just the control just totally wasn't there. It hit three batters, and left the game with the bases loaded. That was just a very difficult situation for him, then even more difficult when you consider what you threw the pitchers who had to come out the bullpen and try to, try to restore some order. So made it very difficult for them. And, you know, still they were able to do something quite dramatic in the end and pull the game out, which is just incredible. As the Braves get the win in dramatic fashion, you just heard the call from the Braves yesterday from Fox Sports South and the call there as Acuña Jr. comes through, as we like to hear him do, like to see him do it, drives home the run after he had a little bit of a concerning moment, hit by a pitch in the first game. Didn't know how he would be for the second game, but he was fine. And so they split the doubleheader, beating two very difficult pitchers, Corey Kluber in the first game and Trevor Bauer in the second game. That's a tough challenge for any team to face. But maybe in that second game, the Braves maybe exposed the Cleveland bullpen just a little bit. Maybe. And if so, that's something to think about tonight as they get ready to close out this series and this visit to Cleveland. 7 o'clock start. Once again, Braves are on Sunday Night Baseball in primetime. And Max Fried, who has just been simply phenomenal so far this season, is going to be on the mound. And he'll be opposed by Shane Bieber, who's also off to a 2-0 start in this 2019 campaign. And we'll see how things go later today, much later today, as the Braves will take on the Cleveland Indians. That you know started out as rough news. It got to be better news, but the you know things didn't get better over Mercedes-Benz Stadium, folks. Just watching Atlanta United play yesterday, and just concerned that they look so tentative when they get to the place where last couple of seasons, they would finish. And they're getting themselves into position. And I guess that's the frustrating thing in watching their squad right now. They're getting in position. They're getting, you know, passes. They're sending, they're getting some opportunities and some looks. And they're just not finishing the way last year. And it seems like collectively, I can't say they don't know what to do. Obviously, we saw these guys, you know, win a championship. So they know what to do at the end. But it seems like they get themselves in position. And for whatever reason, it just kind of falls apart and they don't get the shot that they should get. They don't get the final little execution that seemed to come with ease, you know, the first two seasons of this team. It just seemed like it just happened easily. And they'd go out there and be aggressive early in the match and get an early goal. And that was what the other team did yesterday. You know, Dallas look kind of like Atlanta United looked a couple of years ago. And they're this young team that plays with a lot of energy and just goes out there and throws everything at you. You kind of like their style. It's kind of like something we were kind of used to seeing previously here with Atlanta United. They were just aggressive and they threw everything out there. And, you know, a lot of the players are very young out of their academy. Doug Robertson told us about that yesterday when he joined us yesterday morning. And Doug Robertson from AJC and AJC.com, that's one of the things that people point to with their organization is a lot of young talent with a lot of potential. And, boy, they showed it yesterday. They went out and they played in front of the big crowd, and they came in. And something, a little test for our fans of Atlanta United to have to bear with this team as they make the adjustments and make the changes to the methodology that they have to and the way they have to go by doing things now. And it's testing some patience. I understand some people were a little restless yesterday. There were some boos that were heard. And there were some folks who got up and headed for the exits early. Some things that we're not accustomed to seeing in the short tenure of time that we've had our MLS franchise here in Atlanta. So, you know, I know it's something that tries the patience because we've gotten a little spoiled. You know, I think that's why one of the reasons we've gotten so excited because they've stepped right out of the box. They've been this winning team, and it caused a lot of excitement, and rightfully so. They gave us something to expect, and we expect something. We are still have the title of defending league champions, but it's got things have gotten off to a rather testy start. And so yesterday, 2-0, they were leading, and late they get a penalty kick, and Joseph Martinez, you know, finds the back of the net with that one. So 2-1, the final score, but still a home field loss. Team struggling at home, and that's something we're not used to. Mercedes-Benz Stadium has been such a tremendous home field advantage for Atlanta United. You know, other teams come in and they know what they're going to have to contend with. They're going to have to contend with not just an excellent team that executes and plays an aggressive style, but also they have to deal with the atmosphere, which is a rare atmosphere to find in this soccer league. So that was the whole thing yesterday. I'm sure that was disappointing. It's a holiday weekend. People want to go out and do something, you know, fun and enjoy it. And I'm sure a lot of people went there hoping to see the team make it back-to-back wins after finally getting the first league win last week at New England. Did not happen. And so now, you know, a 2-1 defeat. We'll hear about that later on. We'll hear from some of the players later on in our show and let you hear some of their thoughts from the locker room. You know, Coach Frank DeBoer said he's pleased. He was rather pleased, upbeat afterwards, pleased with the effort. Obviously disappointed that the team did not win. But felt like the effort was there, and in time it will pay off and the wins will come. We will see if that happens. Did you go to G-Day yesterday? You go over to Athens? They were hoping to get closer to 80,000 to show up. I But with the weather that we had yesterday morning and the rain and kind of chilly, and I mean, people had to wear jackets over there yesterday. Still a crowd of over 52,000 plus, they estimated, came over to see that and, you know, see the red team against the black team. If you're keeping score at home, it's 22-17, the final score. Red team winning that. But just a lot of positions that people were watching to see how players would perform. You knew what you're going to get from Jake Fromm. You weren't expecting him to throw a pick six. That was something that people weren't expecting to see. But other than that, he righted the ship and had a decent day. Most of his passes, understand, were heavy to the tight ends, which is a position you really want to see. So that was something that people wanted to watch for, who the talent would be for the tight end position. We got to see some running. Bobby's going to see the running backs do some job. Brian Herrien got a chance to get a lot of work in yesterday. But you wanted to watch that backup quarterback, you know, and see how the backup quarterbacks would perform. And they went out and showed a bit yesterday. Stetson Bennett, 128 yards, you know, in his passing, 8-14. That was nice to see. And also DeJuan Mathis showed that he could execute the offense as well. And he caught a pass. They ran a little trick play there, and Matt Landers threw it out there to DeJuan Mathis for a nice catch. So they had some fun, and people got a chance to watch the team play. What were your thoughts as you watched G-Day, as you went, if you went yesterday? Love to hear from you, your thoughts of what you saw from the Georgia team. Did you see what you were looking for? Did you see the offensive line grow some yesterday? Did you see some of the new faces? Some of the early enrollees who got a chance to play, that they make an impression on you. You can share that with us this morning, 404-741-0929, or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 092929 there on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and share us what you thought, your impressions from G-Day yesterday. If you went there, if you had a good time, if you think Georgia had a good spring, if were you satisfied, were you concerned about what you got to see yesterday? From all accounts and everything that I saw from it and everything that I read from it and all our coverage and things we had on 92.9 The Game and following on social media, I think people had a good time over there and they saw a team play and they were satisfied with what they saw from the Dogs. And can't wait for the fall season. And already circling certain games on the schedule. Of course, the big visit from Notre Dame is something that people are looking forward to. That game coming up in September 21st is going to be pretty big when that one takes place. Also, NBA playoffs continue. And, man, are you watching these NBA playoffs? I know some people may be, you know, there's no LeBron James, so they can't, you know, tune in and either cheer for him or, you know, or cheer for him to lose. Some people just, you know, that's what some people just do in the playoffs. They want to tune in and cheer for him, or they want to cheer against whatever team he's playing. Well, you can't do either one of those this time. You got to learn some new people. There's some new folks, new stars in the league. You got to learn some new names, folks. How about that? It's been kind of chippy. I don't know how you like your basketball, but it's been chippy basketball. And I know certain times when you get to the postseason, things get a tad more physical. In hockey, for sure. Stanley Cup playoffs, things always get physical. There's a lot more hitting. The checking is just, you know, that goes up a notch for the postseason time. In the NBA, to me, it used to be that, you know, the way they play the game now, you don't touch the guys a whole lot, but man, things have gotten real physical in these playoffs right now. And your winners yesterday, Sixers were winners, Nuggets were winners, Bucks were winners, and Rockets win, despite Harden getting off to a very bad start. We're going to get into that as we go along this morning. So much, Ian. So glad you're sharing some of this holiday Sunday morning with me. We're just getting started. Come back. We're going to dive more into what we saw yesterday with this Braves team, what we may see coming up later on today. You're tuning in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
So Swanson digs in, and he barrels this ball to deep center. Martin on the run, and that ball is going to go. Dansby Swanson has hit a two-run homer.
That was good news. That was just a start, folks. We welcome you back out to a game day Sunday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Of course, that call from Fox Sports and the Braves starting their comeback in game two. It was Ernie Banks who said, a beautiful day for baseball. Let's play two. You don't see that much at the major league level of baseball anymore. The minors Sometimes they play two games just to get things caught up if there's a rain. There was bad weather in Cleveland on Friday. So the Braves and Indians ended up playing two yesterday. Holiday weekend, I'm sure the fans there like getting two games. And, man, just a rough outing for both of the Braves starters. And you would think, considering the way things have been with that bullpen, that was just the thing you didn't want to see. You want to see the starters go out and get you a good 6 to 7 innings so you don't have to get into the bullpen. You know, the problems we've had with the bullpen, we've talked about it a lot all last week. We saw it rear its ugly head. It was at its ugliest in the series against Arizona. So you wanted to try to avoid that or delay it for as long as you possibly could. So that was what you were looking to do as you went into the game yesterday. And, you know, you go fine and you're tied 2-2 and you go in the fifth inning and all of a sudden the Indians hang a 6th spot. Man. And that's tough. That's tough. You know, Julio Teheran, you know, goes 4 2/3, gives up seven hits, 5 earned runs, struck out 6 before leaving the game. And that's just tough to see with this Braves team, you know, to give up those many runs on the road at Cleveland against a starter like Kluber, who was going 7. He went 7 full, scattered 5 hits, struck out 8. And the Indians win that first game by a score of 8-4. So it's a tough start. And the thing of it is, you don't have a very long time to lament what went wrong. Unlike most days, you play your one game and you know, you go back and you have your thoughts about it and you talk about it afterwards in your clubhouse and what went wrong, what we could have done differently. And you don't have time to do that because you got a whole nother game to play. And so you go back out there in the second game, you roll things up, you see how you're going to do. Ronald Acuna Jr. Stayed in the game. He got hit on the elbow in the third inning of that game, and then he slid kind of awkwardly while making a catch. But he stayed in the game and did play game two. And, you know, boy, game two got off to a slippery start. And you're like, wait a minute. We just saw a bad game in the first one. What else could happen and go wrong? And Tuki Toussaint, 1 1/3, 6 hits, 7 earned runs he was responsible for, 2 strikeouts before leaving the game. He just didn't have control of his pitching. He couldn't put it anywhere he wanted it to go and hit 3 batters. It just a dreadful start for him. Like he's one of the young arms that we're watching to see if they will come up and really, you know, solidify their role in the starting rotation or solidify their role in this staff, because we need people to be solid in the starting rotation, but we also need to solidify this bullpen. Who's going to come in early that can get those middle innings, that can get you to the closer? By the way, speaking of closer, we still thinking about making that deal, you know, to bring a closer in, or do we need to get some more starting pitching? Does this series change your mind anything at all? Do we still want to talk to Craig Kimbrel? If he's still out there, he's still there. I'm sure he's watching with interest what his old team is doing right now and some of the struggles that they're having. However, in the second game, after Tuki Toussaint leaves, the bullpen is pretty solid. Nothing else comes across for the remainder of the game. And as you just heard coming back from the break, Dansby Swanson unloads, and that got things going. Home run in the 7th, and now the score is 7-3. If you're like me, that's the part where you kind of fade it out. It's getting kind of late. You watched a lot of stuff during the day, and you start getting a little, and all of a sudden, you know, you go right out. And if you wake up and you realize, what, 8-7? Yeah, 8-7. The Braves do rally. They come back, and they get the win. And you know what? It's great to see this team, and that's the Braves team that we've seen with this incarnation of the Braves going back to last spring and what we've seen on a number of times so far this spring. They're never out of a game. Even when down 7-0 in Cleveland after dropping the first game of a twin bill, this team is never out of games. And they get the win, 8-7 final score. That was great to see the bullpen come in. You study, be rock solid to the very end, and win the second game. That was huge, and let's see if they can continue it tonight. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a test for young Max Fried, and he's the one who's he's been the one that we can kind of hang our hats on so far this season. This guy goes out and battles and just and pitches impeccable games and shows some wisdom and shows some smarts. He's going to face a lineup in Cleveland that he can do very well against. But the opposing pitcher is off to a great start as well. Shane Bieber is also 2-0, and they'll be playing in the spotlight that is Sunday Night Baseball tonight. It's the Braves. How many times are they going to put the Braves on Sunday night? Already, early in the season, we've done quite a bit of Sunday Night Baseball. That just means people expect something, I suppose. And when you win the division, you get stuff like that. I guess we ought to be used to that. We should. Or get used to it. It's not a bad thing to get used to. It's not a bad thing to get used to at all. So you have baseball as part of your Easter holiday today. If you may have some other games you get to see, but the Braves, you're going to have to wait until later. Four. And as always on a holiday, there's like a great meal. So I don't know where people do the meals at. I was asking Bo on the other side of the glass before we got started today. You know, is this a big holiday for people going out to eat? Or do you eat at home? Or is there a certain place? We know like Thanksgiving, that's a big holiday, you know, eating time. Christmas or any holiday is a big time going to eat. Even 4th of July or Labor Day, Memorial Day. There's always like a meal, and there's usually sports. And so that's the thing I got used to when I tell people, say, man, why you do this? It's holiday time, right? You know, that usually means we're working in sports because that's when things take place. It's usually always a great meal and there's a game of some type. It just happens that way. Baseball is happening today. You have to wait for a while for the Braves. But where are you going for you? If you're going somewhere, what's a good place to go for Easter, for an Easter meal? And I don't know if there's a certain place you guys like. You can help me out with this, 447-410-929. I think it's ham. Do you eat ham? Some people like ham for Easter. I'm trying to think if I ever had ham for Easter. Either way, I think you see a lot of them in the stores. You go to stores, you have a lot of hams. So maybe that's something you enjoy today as you wait for the Braves game tonight, that you have a great meal. I know there's a certain place that you go, family, if you cook. If you travel from out of town, and that's what a lot of people just do, go and just spend some time with family today. If you're up and you're doing sunrise services, I'm looking up at a monitor, the people already up at Stone Mountain for what has been a great Atlanta tradition. They're there. They had to bundle up a little bit because it's in the 40s out there right now. But, if you go up on top of Stone Mountain this time of day, most mornings you got to bundle up a little bit, but especially this morning. So if you're going to that, be careful if you're driving. Not only to that one, but any others that are taking place early this morning on this Resurrection Sunday morning. Be careful as you travel to those. And then, you know, let us know if you're going somewhere good to eat. Not saying we're going to come over there and crash it, but just we just like to share the information with people. We just like to share with people. You know, if you're going somewhere, don't hold out on us. You know, share people, let people know if you know a good place to go and spend with your family for this Easter holiday. I'm hanging in here today, and Greg, we're searching for Greg. We got to find where he is. He sent me a picture from somewhere. I'm not sure where he's hiding, where he's hanging out at. But, of course, at the top of the hour, we're going to do the thing that we always like to do when he's in the house, and that's, of course, casting call. We're going to get to that with him. Still time of year when they have a lot of the openings for extras, for productions to go along in the area. I want you to make sure and tune in for that. This morning. Also coming up in the next segment, we're going to do esports. Cole Gibson's going to join us and get up to date with some things that are happening as far as esports go. Our own Bo on the other side of the glass. You got your Madden coming up again next week, next Sunday, next phase of that. And we'll get into that a little bit too as we go along this morning and find out some particulars if you want to participate, if you want to go and check it. Because can people come and just watch? Okay. We'll get into that this morning as well. People want to just tune in and just watch. But like I said, we hope you're enjoying this holiday Sunday, and it's gotten off to a good start if you're a Braves fan because they got the big win last night and came from behind, split those games yesterday up at Cleveland. Let's see if they can win another one tonight. It'd be good for this road trip and get a win also against a Cleveland team that's got some outstanding pitching. And so it's a good chance to match up our guys, our starters against their starters And maybe last night, like I said, we exposed that bullpen a little bit. I think that could be good. We expose that and come back and do that again tonight and get another win. I think that'll be fantastic for you to see the Braves, so the Braves can get that done. So we watch for that. Coming up later on today, see which way that team's go. Right now with 11-10, that's nice. Ronald Acuna Jr. doing great things for the team. Mentor coming in the bullpen and closing things down. All those are great things to see for this team. And right now, you like I said, do you want them to make a move for somebody? Do you want them to bring somebody else in with this team? Are you pleased with the way things are right now with this Braves team? We're going to talk about that. Corey McCartney is going to join us later on in our program. He is Fox Sports South, part of the very fine crew that brings you Braves baseball and does interesting podcasts. It talks about Braves baseball as well. He's going to join us later on. We got Danny. We got time. We got time to take Danny. Let's check out with Danny. Danny, good morning. Welcome to Sports
good
Radio.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good morning, Sam. It's always a pleasure to have you wake me up on Easter morning. I appreciate it.
Happy Easter to you, and thanks for joining
us. Happy Easter to you. You know, first of all, real briefly, I think Easter's more like a Christmas time. Everybody having, you know, dinner at the house and having a big ham. That's what we're going to do here tonight. And, you know, I have to go pick up the 90-year-old in-law, so I won't be doing much drinking, but that's all right. I'll give it up for another day. So,
yeah. There you go. It's all about family. But
I just wanted to tell you how much I admire Ryan Snitker and all those guys. And that comeback last night, I mean, they will run through a brick wall for that guy. And I would, too. But my question is, you know, and I love all the Braves. But you remember back in the 90s and the Braves had, you know, the Smoltz, Glavine guys coming up, Steve Avery coming up through the farm chain and so on and so forth. And, you know, there was the rebuilding of the pitching. And do you see that same scenario taking place? Because I'm just kind of been waiting for it. And I other than the Max Fried guy and maybe Toussaint, I just don't. I wonder if we're going to get to that pitching era that we were at. That's my question for you.
All right, Danny. And we're up against it. Thanks a lot for calling once again.
Yes,
happy Easter to you. You know, I think so. And I think Brian Snitker is doing pretty much what the Braves did then. They knew that Smoltz and Glavine were going to be guys, and they just put them out there. They put them out. They took their lumps in some early seasons. Sometimes they have a great outing. Sometimes they go out and have a good outing. They get a lot of run support. But they made the commitment to them that they were going to be the guys. And I think that's what Brian Snitker, eventually that's what we're going to see. There's too much talent. They're just kind of young and raw. And it's going to try our patience. But meanwhile, we don't want to see Philadelphia get too much of a lead either. That's the other concern. But thanks for calling. Coming up next, go talk some esports. Stay with us. Game day Sunday, holiday Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Ah, beautiful sunrise outside. Gosh, I'm looking outside, clear blue skies, and the sun is reflecting off the buildings here in lovely Midtown. I hope it's wonderful wherever you are as you rise on this Easter Sunday morning, this holiday Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929thegame.com. You know we love to spend some time with a guy who always brings us up to speed on things that are happening in esports. And he joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Cole Gibson, good morning. Welcome to Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929thegame.com. How you doing this morning, man?
Morning. I'm doing good this morning, Sam. How about yourself?
Doing great, and ready to talk with you and find out some things that are coming up in the not-too-distant future with esports here in our area.
Well, a lot of the regular season starting to wrap up for some of the other leagues. Might still know their regular season right now, and it's going well. A lot of higher viewership for the guys up in Alpharetta. As far as locally, everything's kind of gearing up towards these matches coming from the Overwatch League over the summer. Coming up in June 4th through the 6th, they will be having homestead matches for the Atlanta Reign here in the city. It's going to be in the Cobb Energy Center. Tickets are already on sale. And it's going to be really hype because it's Overwatch League, and it's the first geolocated game they're going to have almost ever as far as having a home and away type of atmosphere. So a lot of people are already getting tickets and signing up.
Feel like that's going to be a tough ticket to get. Eventually, it's going to be a sellout.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't sold out by the end of next week. Just because for the people that are even close to Atlanta, that can try and get the ticket to make the trip. This is a big deal. It's a marquee moment in Overwatch history and esports history, as this is a thing that no esport has really done so far, as to not only have teams represent a city, but to actually play from that city, have teams travel to that city, and have it be a big marketing and economic opportunity for the city as a whole and not just the esports. So I expect those tickets to go away near as soon as they were up. Probably already half of them are gone at this moment as we speak.
Man. Watch some things that also that are coming up. I think we got some big things internationally with the Hearthstone Championship coming up. I think that's coming up is it later on this month?
Yep. Blizzard's going to be having that. The League of Legends Pro League in China just wrapped up their finals, and the mid-season Invitational for League should be coming up in the next month as well. Smite, toward the back end of May and into June, will be wrapping up their regular season. And a lot of leagues are either wrapping up their regular season, leading the playoffs, have had their playoffs, or some esports like CSGO are moving into their next major tournament internationally, and will be announcing where that will be and when that will be for the teams that qualify for that.
NBA 2K is something we've been watching too, and of course we have a team here in town, and of course that that's been running right well. Thoughts about that and how it's coming together, and some things maybe to watch for, you know, with that.
I think just watch some of the personalities and teams develop. It's still a relatively young league in the grand scope of things. Not a ton of viewership, but they're starting to build their personalities. I mean, it culminated in the fact that our own home team, the Atlanta Hawks Talon, actually got into a little bit of a scuffle on camera about a week ago with some of the Celtics gaming players on stage after a win.
Now, I know things are getting chippy in the playoffs right now in the NBA. You saw the brawl yesterday between the Nets and the Sixers. But the guys are doing this in the esports league too.
Yeah, I mean, words were said. Apparently, after Atlanta won, one of the Celtics gaming players didn't reciprocate a handshake from the Atlanta guys, and then went on to shoulder bump him, and then words were said, and they had to be separated on stage, and they went to a quick break, but not before everyone and their mother that was watching that broadcast could see that there was some chippiness going on between both teams. And I think a lot more esports, especially those outside of the multiplayer online battle arena games and some of the more low-key established games, it's what they need to grow, is a little bit of personality, a little bit of flavor to them to get some of the viewership in and get people excited about it. Not to where they have to go to full fisticuffs and start fighting each other, but, you know, just a little bit of scrappiness to build some storylines and some tension and start getting some fan bases mobilized.
You bringing something else to us this morning, because I never heard of that, this part of it being, and I know that, you know, everybody's competing and everybody's intense, and I understand that, but I never heard about this side of it where things actually get physical. I mean, how much do you hear that? I mean, maybe some internationally are. Maybe that's just something we don't hear about.
It's not very often. It's usually in the fighting game community that things like this happen. But NBA 2K is that same sort of community where things are a lot. Players wear their emotions on their sleeves a lot more often in console and things like NBA 2K, Madden, stuff like that, to where it's easy for emotions to fly. One wrong word said or one wrong gesture, it's just the same as if a dude slides you on a handshake on the court. In 5v5, if you're playing for your high school, just, you know, some street balls, they slide you, didn't shake your hand after you beat them, and you have some words for them after they bump into you, and, you know, tempers flare. It's the same thing, just, different format, obviously, but it's one of the things that console games do bring to the table, is players with more emotion and not afraid to show it.
Folks, we're spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline and getting some a different look at esports. From Cole Gibson. You can follow him on Twitter at ATL Esports Guy, because he's involved in so much of it. Are we going to get to see you doing anything? Are you planning, slated to be commentating on anything coming up soon?
Well, I've been slowly recovering from a trip up to Albany, New York to commentate. I did a little bit of something, but coming up in May, June, I can't announce it or say anything just yet, but okay. You will most likely catch me on some screens, and if you watch my Twitter account, you'll know I'll make sure to tweet out links and announce things when they come to fruition. But there's a very high chance that you see me on your screen coming up in May and June.
Yeah? Are we going to get to see you in some of your outfits, man? You know, you're usually impeccably dressed. For people who don't know this, if you follow this man on Twitter, you see his attire. You know, he is a fashion plate. So you got your special outfits for these coming up?
Of course. I just re-upped my spring-summer outfit. You know, it's starting to get warmer. We just got done with the Easter snap, hopefully. And
yeah,
as soon as it starts hitting those 70s, 80s, everyone's going to be seeing the new threads come out, especially for these broadcasts. I try and save them mostly for the broadcast because that's where I want to play the most for all of my spectacular audience that take their time to come out and watch to see.
Yeah, you don't do like Russell Westbrook, any of those guys, or LeBron. You have like the suit with the shorts to go with it, innit? You're not going to have any of those things going on, are you?
No, and if I were, you wouldn't be able to see them, hopefully. No, that I don't think I'll ever on any broadcast that can actually see my lower half, I'll be wearing any sort of shorts or anything like that. I mean, there's a time and place for everything. I don't make that type of money yet to wear what I want on camera. It's just not there.
Somebody's here this down, say, what the world are these guys talking about? There are some places around town that people can go in and be around gamers and have some fun. I know Battle and Brew is one of them, right?
Yeah, Battle and Brew. There's Axis Replay. Other places are cropping up. I know that some of the local leagues and other entities have been talking about finding places for watch parties, like the Atlanta Six, one of the fan clubs for the Atlanta Reign, the Overwatch team, goes to places like Ballin Brew and Buffalo Wild Wings and other places, local spots around Atlanta, to have watch parties for the Overwatch team, and that's starting to crop up more as a culture here in Atlanta. You can go on Twitter, just type in Atlanta Six, and that should pop up as far as a support group for the team. And they'll post where they're meeting, when they're meeting for games. You could go join those festivities. And the more things start coming up and becoming more prevalent in Atlanta, the more we'll see a lot of this. But those are, right now, the three biggest primary methods I'm seeing right now as far as joining some sort of community, besides the fighting game community. But they are always there, always circulating through many of the same points anyway. So it's not really like you have to go far to join those as well.
Cool, cool. Cole, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Enjoy your holiday Sunday, and thanks for bringing some knowledge to us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, and happy Easter.
All right, happy Easter to you. That is Cole Gibson. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at ATL Esports Guy as he keeps up with all things esports around the area. You have him here with us on Sunday morning. So headed to the top of the hour, into the next hour, we're going to talk more, going to get more into things about talk more NFL. Russell Baxter is going to join us. Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.